This is my video update on this Tuesday afternoon, July the 28th, coming to you from Athens, Greece. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with Zelensky in DC. And we also have Netanyahu in the United States. The cover story is that they are in the United States to attend their late friend's funeral, Lindsey Graham. But the real reason they are in the United States is so that they can meet with President Trump and the Trump administration so that they can coordinate the wars. Netanyahu is going to meet with Trump. Trump is going to meet with both of them separately. Netanyahu is going to meet with Trump so that they can talk about continuing the war against Iran, escalating against Iran. Netanyahu also has elections in Israel, so he's going to want Trump's support. They're also going to discuss the Turkey F-35 deal and the Saudi nuclear enrichment deal as well. I would not be surprised if Trump uses the Turkey and Saudi deal in order to gain some sort of leverage over Netanyahu. Trump was asked by a reporter when he was on Air Force One yesterday about the Turkey F-35 deal and if Netanyahu was going to discuss this with Trump and get Trump to walk away from the deal. And Trump said that no one tells me what to do. No one except Netanyahu. But anyway, we'll see if Trump reverses all of that and uses the Turkey and Saudi deal in order to gain some sort of leverage over Netanyahu.
Prime Minister Netanyahu opposes sending F-35s to Turkey. Are you going to tell him?
Look, Turkey's been a great ally for me. You know, I think he's done a very good job. Did a good job with Syria. He's a friend of mine. And nobody tells me what we should be selling or not. Turkey's been a tremendous ally for me. It was up to Turkey. Turkey's not a big fan of Israel. You know that, right? And not a big fan of Bibi. But he is, they've been great for me. Turkey has been great. Very powerful country, by the way. Tremendous military. Very big military. Very powerful military. Has a lot of great equipment.
These are the things that Netanyahu is going to discuss with Trump. But without a doubt, the number one topic for the two men to discuss, is going to be the continued war and the continued escalation of the war against Iran. And then you have Le Goblin Vert, who will be meeting with Trump in about a couple of hours from the time that I am recording this video. I believe 5 o'clock, 4:35 or 5:30 Greek local time is when he will be meeting with Le Goblin Vert behind closed doors, not open to the media or to the public. We know what happened last time those two met and in the Oval Office, and it was open to the media. Things went really, really off course last time they met and the media was in attendance. So this time around, they're going to meet behind closed doors. And no doubt they are going to discuss the merging of Project Ukraine with Iran. Well, they're going to discuss two things, actually. The merging of Project Ukraine with Iran, and they're also going to discuss how to trick Russia into agreeing to an air ceasefire. So those are the two things that I imagine is going to be top on the agenda. Of course, Zelensky is going to ask Trump for money and weapons. Mr. Trump, I'm in D.C. You got the billion to give me. Merging Iran with Project Ukraine, very dangerous. But if you're Zelensky, this is pretty much all you've got left if you want to stay in power. If you're the United States, you're at risk of losing the war to Russia, losing Project Ukraine. And so this may be the only way that you can continue the war against or the war in Ukraine, and the escalation against Russia is by taking two wars and merging it into one. The U.S., of course, is behind the strikes into the Caspian Sea. There is no way that Ukraine could have hit any Iranian ships in the Caspian Sea. They don't have the technology, the satellites, the targeting. That's the U.S. That's the U.S. and NATO that gave Ukraine the coordinates. And they told them, go ahead and hit this Iranian ship and try to disrupt these supply lines between Russia and Iran, because we want to make this a thing. We want to make the Caspian Sea and Iran and Russia and both wars into one narrative. So that's going to be a big development. We'll see what comes out of the meeting between Trump and Zelensky, if they decide that this is a good idea to take the two wars and turn them into one, or if someone in the Trump White House manages to convince Trump to come to his senses and convinces him that this is the dumbest of dumb freaking ideas that the neocons and the deep state have come up with. Most likely, they're going to push forward with the merging of the two conflicts, but we'll see. And of course, trying to trick Putin and Russia into agreeing to an air ceasefire. We're also getting reports, this is coming from Reuters, that the Senate is going to vote on Lindsey Graham's bone-crushing sanctions deal today, either today or tomorrow, while Le Gobelin Vert is in the United States, because the narrative, the media, you got to create the hype and the media narrative. Zelensky in D.C. attending his buddy Lindsey Graham's funeral, and Congress, the Senate, and the House, in order to honor Lindsey Graham, they're going to make his final dying wish come true, which is to pass the bone-crushing sanctions bill, which will destroy the United States and destroy much of the world economy. But that was Lindsey Graham's dying wish, is for destruction and chaos. And what better time than with Le Gobelin Vert in the United States attending his funeral? So, you know, you've got the whole media narrative, the whole media spin around it. So that's going to be passed, I imagine, by the Senate. It will end up on Trump's desk. And if Trump actually signs it and follows through on it, well, then we're in big, big trouble. All of us around the world are in big, big trouble. These turtles are not going to be in trouble. They're going to be just fine. We're not going to be fine. There's going to be all kinds of economic chaos. But, you know, it was Lindsey Graham's last dying wish. So economic chaos and suffering. So we got to fulfill Lindsey Graham's last dying wish. China, by the way, has already passed a law. I believe it is a law in China that no companies are going to agree to U.S. sanctions. They're not going to abide by any U.S. sanctions, banking sanctions, energy sanctions. So you already have China, before this bone-crushing bill is even passed, you have China telling the late Lindsey Graham and telling the United States, take this bill, this bone-crushing bill, and shove it. So you can see where this thing is going to go if Trump actually decides to execute it. Anyway, Congress is going to meet with Le Gobelin Vert. They have an invitation, an open house. Lindsey Graham is Zelensky. What am I saying? Lindsey Graham. Zelensky. He is in D.C. and he's going to be holding an open house where all of Congress is invited to meet with Le Gobelin Vert and to hang out with him and to talk with him. It's an open invitation to meet with Zelensky while he is in the United States. You have the Wall Street Journal. They are saying that Trump is very impressed with Ukraine's battlefield gains. He's warming up to Le Gobelin Vert. I like you a lot.
little Green Goblin. I like you a lot. Thank you, Mr. Trump. I like you too. I like you when you give me money.
Yeah. He's warming up to Zelensky because of Ukraine's battlefield gains, because you lost Konstantinovka, because you're losing Liman, because you're about to lose Slavyansk and Kramatorsk, because you're about to lose Zaporozhye, and you're going to lose Donbass. I'm very impressed with your battlefield gains, because you have a blockade on all of Odessa. I'm very impressed with your battlefield gains, says the Trump administration. That's the definition of battlefield gains, is when you're effectively a landlocked country right now. I mean, Ukraine is landlocked because the Odessa blockade is very, very effective. I mean, nothing, absolutely nothing is getting in or out. So yeah, that's battlefield gains that Trump is impressed with. Ridiculous. Absolutely freaking ridiculous. Remember the narrative over the past couple of years? Of course you remember the narrative over the past couple of years of Ukraine defeating Russia in the Black Sea. Yeah, they've defeated Russia in the Black Sea so well that Russia now has 100% control of the Black Sea and has imposed a 100% blockade of the Black Sea. That is how well they defeated Russia in the Black Sea. Look at these guys. That is some dirty water. Check out that little guy. And you have the king right there. That guy's the king. Anyway, all right. Let's talk about what is happening. Did I get to everything? Yeah, I think I got to everything. Did I read this article title from the Wall Street Journal? Two wars converge in the Caspian Sea as Ukraine hits Iranian supply line to Russia. Tehran threatens retaliation for long-range drone strikes. Yeah, right. Ukraine is able to hit ships in the Caspian Sea. Give me a break. Yeah, Ukraine did that all on their own. Oh, we also have news that some reports have been able to confirm this, that Ukraine is also striking out at Iraq. After Iran, Ukraine now attacked Iraq as well. Iraqi National Security Advisor claims Ukrainian intelligence cells carrying out attacks in Iraq and attribute them to resistance factions. We arrested individuals and elements who confess that Ukrainian cells carried out shelling on sovereign Iraqi facilities. Yeah, they want a world war. Really, really bad. And they're going to probably get it too. So what is happening on the front lines? Russia continues to advance. Check out Alexander's video from yesterday where he talks about the Russian advance in the south towards Zaporozhye. They're advancing in the Donbas. They're on the outskirts of Kramatorsk and Slavyansk. We could be seeing a very big cauldron around the last two fortified cities in the next few months. Definitely something is developing. Dobropilia is another fortified area that Russia is storming, and they will eventually capture it. We're talking about a town, city of around 28,000, 30,000. So not a small place. But the Donbas is collapsing. The south of Ukraine is collapsing. Sumy, Kharkov area. You also have a cauldron developing outside of Kharkov as well. Reports are that you could be seeing around 1,000 Ukrainian soldiers surrounded. You also have Liman, where a cauldron is forming, and there could be another 1,000 Ukrainian soldiers caught up in a cauldron. And when this cauldron closes, the rumors are that is when the Russian Ministry of Defense will announce the full capture of Liman. So the situation on the front line is looking absolutely horrendous for Ukraine and for Le Goblin Ver. But Trump is impressed. Trump is impressed. I like it. I'm very impressed, says Trump. And then you have the gas stations that are being destroyed. And according to Ukrainian sources, including the Kharkov Oblast councillor, Oleksandr Skorik, they are reporting that every single petrol station along the Kharkov-Poltava highway and Dnipro-Zaporozhye highway have been destroyed by Russian drone strikes. Every single petrol station. Every single one. Amazing. The price of oil is going down now that you have 4 days of an airstrikes pause. And we know what happens when the price of oil goes down. I believe it's at around 84 or 83 at the moment. Once it drops to a level that that Trump is happy with, you know that you are going to get strikes against Iran. Things are going to start up again. This is the pattern of things. Price of oil goes down. Trump then starts the military operations and activity. Price of oil approaches 100. Then you get some sort of a statement or a made-up off-ramp or something where then the price of oil is brought back down. We had Trump speaking to reporters on Air Force One. He also gave a speech in Michigan. The U.S. president said that, big surprise, are you guys sitting down for this one? I hope that you guys are sitting down for this one, because what I am about to tell you is some shocking breaking news of Trump's speech in Michigan from this speech. So sit down and listen up. Trump told those in attendance in Michigan that Iran is calling and they want a deal. That's what he said. He said they're calling and they're begging him, Mr. President, United States, please, please stop the attacks. We want a deal. Please stop. You heard it here first. You heard it here first on this channel. That's what Trump said. That is what he said. Yeah, amazing. He also said that Iran has been decimated, completely decimated, obliterated, destroyed. That's what he said. We're knocking the hell out of them. Or we've knocked the hell out of them. I don't know how they continue to fire the missiles and the drones, but we're not going to bring that up. Trump is saying that they've been completely decimated. He said that as well. On Air Force One, he was asked about Iranian resources. And Trump said that the United States is going to take Iranian resources, Iranian oil, just like we did in Venezuela. That is what he said. We are taking billions and billions of dollars from Venezuela. That will happen with Iran too. And then a reporter asked a follow-up question, where is the money from Venezuela going? And Trump said, it's running the country. Duh. It's not going to an offshore account in the UAE or Qatar. It's running the country. Well, it is going to an offshore account, allegedly, in the UAE or Qatar, but it's also running the country. And 10% for the big guy. Yeah, the Venezuelan money. Where is that Venezuelan money? That was from the Financial Times. They're the ones that reported on this about 3-4 days ago. Where is that Venezuelan money going? Well, Trump has answered that question. It's running the country. Now stop bugging me. Stop bothering me. I'm telling you, it's running the country. It's running the country. Now leave me alone. So that was Trump on Air Force One. That was Trump in Michigan giving his speech. He also said that the U.S. has plenty of weapons as well. He also said that. All the reports claiming that the U.S. is running out of weapons, Trump said, nah, we got plenty of weapons. We got more weapons than anyone in the world. In Michigan, someone in the audience started to yell, PDF protector. You guys know what I mean when I say PDF. Someone started to yell this as Trump was speaking. You're a PDF protector. And then Trump snapped back at the person in the audience and he called him a commie. That's right. You're a communist. This is where we are in the world, everybody. This is where we are. There's no left, right anymore. It's either Pete in politics, either Pete, PDF protector, or commie. You're either one or the other. Which one are you? Yeah, Trump called him a communist. Take that, commie. That's right. You may call me a protector. Well, you're a commie. How about that? Yeah, I think I've got everything there. The European Union, they are... Well, this is big news. This is big news. They're actually thinking about calling it quits with the sanctions packages. Sanctions package 22 may be the last sanctions package, and we may not even get to sanctions package 22. That's right. Believe it or not, the EU may be calling it quits with the sanctions packages because they're thinking of taking a different approach after sanctions package 21, which was a complete failure, and they had to water down just about everything from the Greek LNG to the fish in Portugal. Those fish, as Callas said, those fish are causing all kinds of geopolitical trouble, those fish. Well, it looks like we're going to have a different approach from the European Union, or at least they're thinking about it. There is a big debate going on in the EU with regards to sanctions. And so the approach that they're thinking of taking is to break up the sanctions packages into small little bits. Instead of creating one big omnibus, one big package, which then needs all of the member states to approve and to green light, which is where you then get the concessions and the exemptions and all of that stuff. They're thinking of just breaking it up into little bite-sized pieces. That may be the strategy going forward. So instead of a sanctions package, we'll get tiny bits of sanctions against Russia, little tiny bits. And they'll be voted on very quickly, right? Like we're going to cut off fish from Russia. Is everyone in agreement? Portugal says no. They say, okay, next, we're going to put a $44 price cap on oil. Is everyone in agreement? Yes, okay. So they've passed the $44 oil package, or not even package, sanction, that one single sanction. So that's the approach that they may be taking, EU to restructure Russian sanctions strategy following Greece is obstruction. Yeah, they're blaming it all on Greece. Of course, they're going to blame it on Greece. Why not? Why not blame it on Greece and the LNG shipping, which would have destroyed the country, by the way. And of course, the Greek government cannot go against the shippers. If the Greek government went against the shippers, then the Greek government would be no more. The Greek government cannot survive going against the Greek shippers. They run everything. They run the entire show here in Greece. They have the media companies. They have the football clubs. They have it all, the Greek shippers. So you cannot go against them. They have no problem delivering pain to the citizens. But if it risks their own power, then that's when the member states will put their foot down and they will ask for an exemption. If it's something that affects the people and makes everyday people's lives worse, but doesn't affect their power, then they're fine with the sanctions. If it risks their power, then nope, can't do it. Can't do it. So the word is that things will be broken up, but there are still advocates of keeping these sanctions as one big package, keeping it as one omnibus package. Some policymakers caution that the current omnibus approach serves a vital political function. Bundling sanctions ensures that all capitals simultaneously absorb domestic economic hits, validating the shared financial burden across the bloc. Got that? The benefit of having one big package is that all of the member states share the financial hit. They know it's bad for the member states. They know it. They're saying it's bad for the member states. It's bad for our citizens. It's bad for our finances. But the benefit of having one big package is that we all of us collectively, suffer. Madness, absolute madness. Did you know that in the 21st sanctions package, there was also an exemption on Russian furs, sable pelts? There was an exemption made for sable. This was requested by Italy and Greece. They were going to block the sable pelts from Russia, but they decided to. They had already blocked, actually, in the previous sanctions package. And then I believe in the 21st sanctions package, they decided to remove that sanction on sable pelts because it was devastating the businesses in Greece and Italy. So we also had that walk back in the 21st sanctions package. And we can now talk about Le Gobelin Vert traveling to the UK before he made his way to the United States. Andy Burnham, his first visit with a foreign leader was Alensky. Alensky was the first foreign leader to travel to the UK and to meet with Andy Burnham. And Andy Burnham, in a statement, he said that the UK is 100% in support of Ukraine. That is not going to change. And he also said that he is personally 100% supporting Ukraine. We are with Ukraine 100%. I am personally with you 100%, Mr. President. I will honor every commitment this country has made to Ukraine in full.
We are with Ukraine 100%. I am personally with you 100%, Mr. President. And I will honor every commitment this country has made to Ukraine in full.
It was like Burnham was reading a hostage note, right? That's what it was like. We're 100% committed to you, 100%. I'm personally 100% committed to you. We have zero sovereignty left, zero, absolutely zero sovereignty. Whatever the globalist masters tell us to do, we will do it. I will not change the policy that Starmer has enacted with Project Ukraine and the person before Starmer and the person before that person and the person before that person, what the 7 or 8 previous prime ministers have done with Project Ukraine. I will not change it. We have lost our sovereignty. Thank you very much, Andy Burnham. Alensky just sat there, just nodding. Yep, that's right. I own you 100%, Mr. Burnham. 100%. Now give me money. And they're going to give money, no doubt about it. Sad, man. It was really sad. A very sad statement, a very sad speech from Burnham. Very, very sad. But I will give Burnham this. I will credit him with this. He did not hug Alensky. I did not see him hug Alensky. Maybe next time he will be hugging Alensky. But this time around, he shook his hand. Maybe patted him on the shoulder a little bit. I'm trying to remember the video as they greeted one another. There may have been a little touching, but there was definitely no hug. And so Burnham probably avoided the Alensky curse. I wonder if one of his advisors told Burnham, listen, Mr. Prime Minister, whatever you do, don't hug that guy. Okay? Okay. Don't hug him. And the Burmanator said, I will not hug him. I will not hug him. Nope. I will stay away. Why are you not hugging me, Mr. Burnamator? Nepodoliak. Why does he not want to hug me? So German businesses are going out of business. Varta, the battery company, has filed for bankruptcy. You know Varta. Not Duracell, not Energizer, but Varta. Definitely not the Energizer Bunny. They've run out of battery. And they're going bankrupt. Yeah, Varta is finito. Porsche, they are cutting 5,000 jobs in Germany by 2035. and the current employees. They've also agreed to slower wage growth, and other benefits are going to be cut for the current employees, but 5,000 employees will lose their job by 2005. We had the news about Volkswagen as well. Everyone knows about Volkswagen. We did a dedicated video on Volkswagen on the Duran. Playmobil, they are closing their factory in Germany. Playmobil is leaving Germany, and they're going to auction off all kinds of stuff from the factory, starting at €1. Playmobil. Deindustrialization in Germany, courtesy of Pirate Schultz and BlackRock, Merz, and Angela Merkel. So let's do a clown world and we can wrap up this video on this very, very hot Tuesday afternoon. So Mitch McConnell, all the oranges or tangerines or whatever, they've all gone. This tree used to have a whole bunch. There we go. It's too hot. It's just way too hot. Mitch McConnell posted another photo, proof of life photo with his wife. Mitch McConnell releases new proof of life photo and statement in an email from his press office. You can see the photo on your screen right now. Allegedly, that is Mitch McConnell. He's doing okay, allegedly. That's his wife right there. There they are. Everything is good. Even has a statement from his doctor saying that Mitch McConnell is recovering. It's been something like 40 or 50 days since he's voted on anything in the Senate. But there you have proof of life. There you have it. It's proof of life. He's there. You see? He's okay, everybody. He is okay. The photo proves it. The photo proves it. The memes that are coming out are amazing. Absolutely amazing memes coming out since he posted this proof of photo image on the internet, on the interwebs. We believe you, Mitch. We believe you. And you have Le Express, I believe French publication, Le Express. Le Gobelin Vert, Le Express, with an article saying, deprived of internet and gasoline, will the Russian population remain silent 2 months before important elections? Those in power are growing tense and can harden further. What the F is Le Express talking about? What are they talking about without gasoline and without internet? What are they talking about? Do I need to make another trip to Moscow to show that there's internet? What are they freaking saying? The problem is that there'll be all kinds of globalists in the collective West that are going to read this article from Le Express. People like Macron and in Macron's administration, they're going to actually believe it. They're going to actually believe that everything is working. You see, it's working. They have no more gasoline and they have no more internet. Our sanctions are working. We just need to move away from big sanctions packages and just break them up into small pieces. And then we're going to finally see the end of the Putin regime. Crazy stuff. Yeah, Russian media should put out stories. This is what Russian media should do. This would piss off the collective West, by the way, is if Russian media, like Rossiya 24 or Rossiya 1, Pervy Kanal or whatever, Izvestia, started running stories saying that France or Germany has no more internet. The internet in Germany does not work anymore. And just run stories like that. You know, Merz would get pissed off at stories like that. Russian disinformation. We're being bamboozled by Russian misinformation. It's not true. We have internet in Germany. Not true. Stop bamboozling us. Anyway, that is the video, everybody. The Duran.locals.com. We are on X. We are on Rumble. We are on Telegram. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch. We have another sale taking place on the Duran shop, so definitely check it out. We are also on Substack. And hit the like, smash the like, obliterate the hype. Subscribe to this channel. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.
the people that count, those people love Trump. Because I've done more for you than your parents, okay? Your parents are good. I'm not going to knock your parents, but I have been better to you than your parents. That I can tell you. And they would agree with me. Wherever they may be, they would agree.